Today, the Holy Spirit is inviting us to enter into a new world, a new life with God and one another. It is my prayer that as we celebrate Pentecost, that we dare to embrace the creative energy that is at the heart of God, the source of all that is good and true and just and loving, and that together we are made new. Amen. Pentecost happens with a bang. All the disciples are gathered together waiting. Jesus is gone. No one is quite sure what is next. Then one morning, heaven comes down to earth and blows through the room. A heavenly wind fills the entire house where the disciples are sitting. This heavenly wind is the uncontrollable spirit of creation. The wind from God which swept over the waters in Genesis has returned, and it has come to create something new. After the wind, the Holy Spirit, she comes as God's uncontrollable fire. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And God's fire is not something to be messed with. Remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, when the city was inhospitable to strangers, to three foreigners. God consumed the city with fire from heaven. God's fire is a threat to the world as we know it. It's a purifying fire, which burns away all that disfigures the goodness of God's creation, so that something new can be established from the ashes. Through these two images, God's rushing wind and God's fire, we are told that on Pentecost, God's uncontrollable and overflowing energy appears again among us to transform everything. And from that energy, what the Spirit animates is the church, God's new creation, called to share God's uncontrollable and overflowing energy with our world. What the Spirit creates is a beloved people, a people invited to be God's fire, which protests against all that disfigures God's goodness and hopes of creating something more beautiful and just for everyone. On Pentecost, what comes down is the fire of God, all of it. The fire of Sinai, the fire of Sodom and Gomorrah, the burning bush. And now all this fire burns inside of the church. Thanks to the Holy Spirit, God's blaze now comes alive in the gathering of our lives. The Holy Spirit is not some power in our hands. No, the Holy Spirit is a movement. It's the dangerous movement of God that takes us beyond what is ordinary and regular and possible and measured and frustrating and disappointing and unresolved. It's God's movement which invites us to enter and help create a brand new world. And as part of our initiation into this new world, the Holy Spirit invites us to learn a new language. As a church, we have for far too long domesticated the chaotic calling which transpires on that day. We tend to focus all our attention exclusively on the miracle which happens, how everyone present understands God's invitation in their own native languages, how each person hears their own tongue spoken, how everyone is included and understood and able to communicate across boundaries so that their lives can be intertwined. Now, don't get me wrong, this miracle is important. It reminds us that the Spirit's deepest longing is for everyone to be part of God's movement of love. That's the first part of Peter's message when he reinterprets the words of the prophet Joel. This new world is for everyone. I will pour out my Spirit on all people, Peter preaches. And for Peter, all clearly means all. For he states that it is for young and old, men and women, all social classes, all members of society. In this new world, there is no division. For God's love breaks down all that divides us from one another and all that divides us from God. However, as Peter reminds us, this movement that longs to create a new world for everyone, this movement is anything but polite. It's not nice. It's not to be welcomed by many. For it is God's purifying fire that protests against all that is ugly, tyrannical, evil, and unjust. In Peter's sermon, he continues, "And I will show portents in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun should be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day." Here Peter says the church is to be blood and fire. For its mission is to work to bring to an end all that divides, all that separates, all that dehumanizes, and all that destroys. And that is why the real language of this new world, the real language of the church, is repentance. For after bringing everyone together, we are told that Peter turns to the crowd and he calls out everyone for their involvement in the death of Jesus, for their cooperation in their state system of torture and occupation. Peter reminds everyone present of their silent complicity in Rome's machine of state terror. And then Peter calls them all to repent. With this fire burning within him, fearlessly, Peter calls all who are present out of their participation in death's working and into God's new world, the church. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made Jesus both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified, this Jesus whom I crucified. Peter doesn't add that last part, but I wish he did. Then we are told that all the people, they're cut to the heart. They feel God's fire burning within them. So they turn to Peter and the other disciples and they ask, "What then shall we do?" Peter's response is simple. Repent. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be part of God's new world. Repent. And be part of the Spirit's movement of blood and fire. The Spirit's movement of protest against anything and everything that disfigures God's goodness, God's life, God's beauty. So that something new can emerge that is more beautiful and just for everyone. But this new world is only possible if we learn God's new language, the language of repentance. Repentance is to be the trademark of God's people. And repentance means so much more than simply saying sorry for one's past wrongs. It means more than feeling regret for past sins. Repentance involves action. It involves turning away from the wrongs that plague our society and plague our lives. As Karl Barth once stated, repentance involves standing under God's judgment for one's way of being. It means embracing God's wrath in areas within one's own life. It means deeply gazing into our lives and courageously exploring all the ways that we are still enmeshed in sin so that we can discern where we still need to welcome God's fire. The fire that burns through this world of sin that imprisons us, enslaves us, which holds us captives to deadening realities, to a world of injustice, to broken relationships, to overwhelming loss. Just as all who were gathered together on Pentecost had to wrestle with how they were complicit in the system of death which murdered Jesus, repentance calls us to wrestle with all the ways we perpetuate, we aid, that we silently participate in the injustices around us. And oh, do we all, especially those of us who are white, have so much to repent of. For as we have seen in many different ways this week, that there's a power and privilege that is built into our racial identity and it is destroying our world. Each day we are witnessing our mainly white public leaders express their strong desire to return as quick and as too much as normal as possible. And this is leading to the death of thousands of Black and Latinx lives. We saw a woman in Central Park call the police and lie simply because she encountered a Black man birdwatching in the park. We have witnessed again how white male dominance is murdering the lives of Black men like George Floyd. We have seen how white protesters who are armed to the teeth in Michigan are left alone, even praised by some as they make threats at their government. And how Black protesters are met with tear gas and projectiles as they protest an innocent death. And how some have even called out for those who protest police brutality to be shot. I know I'm not alone, and today I feel broken and lost and heartbroken, overwhelmed and confused, but I also know that I'm complicit. For my life benefits from this unjust society in so many ways. And as John Franz reminded us so vividly last year in the Sunday school series that he taught, justice, true justice, it's going to cost those of us who benefit from whiteness a lot. It's going to feel like blood and fire. But this is the work the church has been called to do ever since its inception, ever since the Spirit came down and gave us the miracle of Pentecost. Today, my friends, we are being reminded of our mission to be God's fire. For this is what it means to be the church, to be God's people. And to be identified with fire is to be named as a threat to the world as we know it, the world as it is. To be named fire is to be perceived as a threat by the people who want to keep the things the way they are. As a church, let us never be afraid of being a protest movement, a movement which revolts against all that is sinful, all that is unjust, all that is ugly, all that brings death. As a church, let us never be afraid of being a people who works at creating cracks in the fabric of our unjust world so that light can come in and God's redemption can spread. For this is what it means to be a people whose language is repentance. This is what it means to be God's new world, God's flicker of hope. This is what it means to be a people offered God's given breath so that we can speak truth, offer hope, and work with God's Spirit towards building a world where everyone can breathe freely. Amen.